It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Yo! Welcome into the House of L podcast. I am the L of House of L. I am Lawrence Holmes. Thank you so much for hanging out, whether you're listening on Spotify or on Apple, or if you are watching on YouTube. Hello, welcome to all of you that are on YouTube. If you're not on with us at YouTube, you can't see all of my pictures in my office, at least the ones that you can see on the screen. There's more back here, and then there's going to be more shelves as I kind of build this out. But I'm glad that you are here, and I thank you for your support. Thanks to everyone who has subscribed to the YouTube page. It means a lot. Like, we just went over 1,000 subscribers, and we really just kind of got going in the last couple of weeks. So that's big to see. Thanks to everyone who has supported the podcast, even when it was just audio. And I appreciate your support as a subscriber to House of L. No guests today because there's just me. And I wanted to talk about a lot of stuff. I'm going to try to be brief, but I know that I'm not. So just buckle in for this one because it's going to go back a little bit and go into a couple different areas of me discussing what's gone on. So the jumping off point for this is I had my final show at NBC Sports Chicago on Monday. It was my last show for football night in Chicago, and it was really emotional. I mean, it should be, right? Like, I've been there. I've been with NBC over the last 14 years. So, like, starting in 2011 when they brought me on and I worked as a weekend anchor there and as a reporter, which was really, really great. Big thanks to Frank Whitaker, who hired me and gave me a lot of good notes. And it was nice, like, even though I really didn't have any background in being a sports anchor, he said that I was a B anchor and an A reporter, which I'll take for someone who spent most of their time doing radio. That's a compliment to me. And I think if I ever wanted to get back into being a sports anchor, a traditional sports anchor, I think I would be really good at it. I don't know if that's something that I want to do, but we'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. I wanted to spend some time talking about the experience at NBC Sports Chicago. So I started at NBC 5 in 2011. Then, for those of you who are, like, new to the podcast and don't have my resume on file, and why would you? I left there to join what is now Stadium, which was back then called 120 Sports. And I did a morning show there from roughly 2015 to 2017. The show went well, but it moved to New York in 2017, and I had a choice to make, and that choice was, do you want to move to New York? And the answer was no, because I was doing my radio show here. My whole life was here. You know, Mel and I hadn't even been married, what, a year and a half when this came up, and her life was here. So I wasn't just going to be like, oh, yeah, let's go move to New York. It wasn't for me. Plus, I've never viewed my career through the lens of I had to be in New York or LA for it to be a success. Like, I work in a top 10 market. I work in a top 5 market. I work in a top 3 market working in Chicago. So, and what was cool was watching Stadium make its way back to Chicago. And so you have a national network in Chicago, and I love doing stuff with them. But when that happened in 2017. I was approached by Kevin Cross, who now has all of the Infinity Stones. He is the person who runs NBC5, NBC Sports Chicago, and Telemundo. And he said, hey, we're thinking about doing a Bears show. We're going to kind of change it up a little bit. We want to do a post-game show, but we can't call it a post-game show because we don't have a contract with the Bears to do that. The Bears have an official post-game show. That's the show that's on Fox. That's their production. They get to reign over that if they want to. Not that they would need to. Like, Luke Kanellis does an amazing job with that show. He works crazy hours. I was talking with Lou last year, and on game day during football season, that man is grinding. He's grinding his absolute face off. I think he's doing like 17-hour days on game day, which is ridiculous. But we kind of had this unofficial, official rogue show that we were just like, what will we call it? Well, we can't call it the post-game show. We can't say Bears anywhere in it at all because of the rules of Fox being the official station of the Bears. So if you were ever wondering, that name sounds silly, the football after show. That's why we had to call it that, because we had no naming rights. We couldn't use Bears at all. And I said, okay, cool. Like, I like the idea. And what Kevin Cross told me is, he's like, I want you to just do it like a radio show. And then they told me, like, it's going to be, you know, Jim Miller and Alex Brown and Lance Briggs. And I'm like, great. That sounds amazing. And that kind of kicked off the start of that show. And then the cast of analysts changed over the first four seasons, where it was Jim, Alex, and Lance. And then it was me, Matt, Alex, and Lance. Then it was me, Matt, Olin, Alex, and Lance. And then the pandemic hit, which I'll get to. But doing the show with all of those guys was a really amazing thing. And for my career, it was even better. Now, I covered those guys. Matt, I didn't cover Jim, but I covered Matt, Olin, Lance, and Alex. And it's fair to say at this point, I would consider all of them friends now that those guys have retired. And I've had a lot of great conversations with them that had nothing to do with football. But the football part of it was really amazing. I've said multiple times on the air that it was like going to grad school for football. I got to watch games with those guys. I got to watch Olin Krutz tell you that a play isn't going to work before the ball is snapped because of the way people are aligned on the offensive line, like that type of stuff. It was really tremendous. We had some incredible highs on that show. We had some incredible lows on that show. The Parkey thing, it's one of my favorite days there, but not because of the outcome. The outcome actually cost us money, because at the Bears advance, Alex had worked out all sorts of like things for us to do the next week. They were going to get us paid, but we never really got the chance to do that. And it sucked, but that show was amazing. And there was a point where, again, Kevin Cross, who was like, hey, why don't we, he had kind of thought of this idea of me and David Kaplan doing kind of a Chicago version of PTI. And Cap and I like went out and talked about it, and we were down. And then the pandemic hit. And when the pandemic hit, it changed everything. You know, it changed. I was technically laid off. I still got paid, which was amazing, but it hurt to not be a part of the programming there until things got better. And then when things got better, and I mean from a pandemic standpoint and from a financial standpoint for NBC, when things got better, they brought me back. And Cap had kind of filled in because there were basically three guys left. There were three on-air people left at NBC Sports Chicago. That was Cap, it was Pat Boyle, and there was Chuck Garfine. So you have as full-time like employees. So Cap kind of assumed the responsibilities of hosting football after show. Then when Cap got early retirement, John Shipman, who he runs NBC Sports Chicago now because Kevin Cross is in charge of all of it. He said to me, do you want to come back and kind of do the last couple of shows of the after show after Cap's deal is up? And I was honored to come back and do it. And then from there, there have been, they've had Ruthie Polinsky take over in that spot. And I think Ruthie has done a great job. But John Shipman was like, well, we're doing this new show and it's called Football Night in Chicago. Would you want to host it, you know, a couple times a week or however often you can do it? And I was like, let's do Mondays. I always felt like Monday was the best day to do that show. So I know I took a long time kind of giving you some history on it, but it was an amazing place to work. Like, I loved doing the show and I loved everything associated with working at NBC Sports Chicago, especially the people. I just had an amazing crew. I still, it's weird because, you know, I do this and I've done TV and I've done the sports anchoring thing, whether it was over on Channel 5 or filling in for Pat Tomasulo on Channel 9, which was a lot of fun as well. I've done TV. I've been doing TV for the last 15 years. I still think of myself as a radio person. So there are things that I don't know that maybe even someone who is, you know, 3 or 4 years into working full time in TV might know better or might be better at than I am. But what I loved about working at NBC Sports Chicago is that the crew over there took incredible care of me. Like, they just, I can't say enough how good a group it is to work with. The producers over there, and I mean, I know I'm going to say names and I know I'm going to forget names as this goes on too, and I apologize for that. With Football Night, the producer that I worked with the most was Anthony Durunda, who I think is just amazing, like an amazing young producer, really sharp football guy, TV guy. You put both of those things together, you get a really great producer of football content. Jeff Nelson is another guy that I worked with a lot, a.k.a. Nelly. My guy, Eric Strobel, who I worked with, and we had a lot of fun. I remember when J.J. Stankovic, his wife was pregnant with their twins, J.J. went on paternity leave, and this is right before the pandemic started. So they were like, hey, can you go to Miami and go cover the Super Bowl for NBC Sports Chicago? Yeah. Yeah, I think I could handle a few days down on South Beach. And it was great because Strobel kind of put everything together, and I got to flex some muscles a little bit. Because I know a lot of people. And so when we got to Radio Row, like, I set up on Radio Row because I was going to do the radio show from there and then do some podcasting for the Under Center podcast, which is an NBC property. And we got some good guests because I know some people, right? And I think that it was a fun exercise for them to be like, oh, okay, I'm not just local. Like, I actually know people from around the country. So that was cool. And it was like one of my favorite things. And obviously, when I bring up JJ, I can't bring up JJ and not talk about us dancing on television. If you go to my Twitter account, at Lawrence W. Holmes, it is pinned, and it will always be the pinned tweet, is that Bears hit that we did with JJ, where JJ is in Philadelphia, and they play Sugar Hill Gang's Apache, and we jumped on it, you know? And it was just real and awesome, and it's one of the endearing qualities of JJ Stankovic, who is an amazing storyteller. And I'm so happy that after, you know, he got let go by NBC Sports Chicago, that he landed with the Colts, and he's doing incredible storytelling there. But between, you know, Anthony and Strobel and Nelly and my guy Nate Poppin, like these producers took really good care of me. Like they did what I think a lot of producers need to learn how to do, whether it's radio or television. They lean into your strengths, and then they incrementally will work with you on things that you need to get better at. So they're not throwing you off the side of this thing. I should mention my man Slavko too, who's now working over at Big Ten. Slavko used to produce the football after show. And I loved they just kind of let it happen. I always looked at the football after show, like the model that I followed, just so you know, I followed Ernie. Like, if I felt like I had a similar panel like Ernie has, I had a group of very opinionated people. So I would watch the TNT broadcast all the time just to see how Ernie would navigate it, and then take like all the cool stuff that he did and then try to add it to who I am as a person. You know, I can't just be an Ernie Johnson robot, but I can watch and learn how he is able to move the conversation and sometimes get out of the way. Like, that's, I think, my favorite part of what it is that we did, is I was able to sometimes just throw it up to those guys. And Lance and Alex specifically, that I loved their dynamic, because you could tell that this is how they were as teammates. Same thing with Matt and Olin. You could tell how they were as teammates. And then you put the offensive guys and the defensive guys, and how they see the game is different. How Lance sees the game as a linebacker is different than what Alex sees as a defensive end. And I think that we don't have any Emmys to show for it, which I think is a crime, because I don't know if there was a better television show than what we had Sundays after games. There might be some that are just as good. There is nobody who is better than what we were doing football wise. And so I'm really proud of it. And it's like really proud of it. We worked, the producers worked, all of the interns that we had on our show, the entire crew worked hard. They did their best to make sure we looked our best. When we used to have hair and makeup, because that's one of the first things to go when you have any sort of like economic downturn. But Alyssa was, Lagos was doing our hair and makeup. I mean, not that there's a lot of hair left here, but she was making us as pretty as we could be before we would head out to the studio. Everyone who was on cameras and, you know, the crew, special shout out to Linda, who was my floor director for a big portion of my time there. My guy Brandon, like, there's just a really good crew of people that took pride in taking care of you. If I can, because I know that, you know, part of House of L's mission is to talk a little bit about how media works. If I can offer to any young broadcaster or young journo that is out there, how you treat people matters. The people that you work with are professionals just like you. And it doesn't matter that you're the person in front of the camera or behind the microphone. Those people are sometimes, or the we're talking about, folks on the floor or the folks in the control room, the folks who keep the lights on. They work hard and they care about what it is that they're putting out. Their names are on it too. So how you treat those people is really important. And I don't even mean it from like a, you better treat them good or they're going to turn the lights out. No, because that's not how they work. Like they, people still do their jobs, but they should be treated with the utmost respect. They know a lot. And I always tried to treat them the way that I wanted to be treated. And it was a real honor, you know, to be there with good folks. I worked primarily with two different directors, Ellis and Lou. And those guys were great. Whether it was, they see you through the camera. So they were seeing you in the control room. And those guys knew when I looked anxious or if I was nervous about something. And they would, they give an encouraging word here or there. Or they let you know, don't worry about this. We're going to go to this, 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 and this. And you got it. And that type of support is what's needed, I think, to make the overall product look good. So I'm really going to miss what we had built over at NBC Sports Chicago. Another thing, and then I'll kind of talk about the big picture stuff. When it comes to the radio show, and I often will refer to the nighttime show that I did the score as the radio show, or the midday show that I did solo as the radio show, just so you understand where I'm coming from. When I was working solo, maybe that's the easier way to do it. One of my biggest things that I loved was when people from my show graduated. I'm a big proponent of that. I didn't want people to stay there forever. I wanted people to get what they needed from the show and then turn it into something better. There's not a lot of money that can be made producing in radio. Unless you end up, you know, as the boss of a station, or you, someone's program director. So I never looked at my producers as they're going to be here forever. And if they, I don't want them to go anywhere because I need the comfort of them being there. I like the comfort of having really competent producers, but I'm also fairly arrogant when it comes to, I feel like we can get most producers to that level if given time and allow them to kind of show their creativity. I say all of that to say one of my favorite things about NBC Sports Chicago is that they hired Tony. And it was, it wasn't, I never let Tony know how hard of a conversation it was, because he knew exactly how I felt about the concept of people graduating from the show. I basically kicked Tony off the show. And I did that because I knew that he would never get paid the way that he should be getting paid. It wasn't because no one thought that Tony was good. Everyone thinks Tony's good. But I knew that if he stayed in radio, unless he was going to the host chair, which he didn't really, he likes to play around, but he didn't want to be like a host. that the best thing for him was to go look at opportunities. And when there was an opportunity at NBC Sports Chicago, I was telling him, like, look, man, go. I need you to go. I won't be happy if you stay here. And so Tony taking that job and working on the digital side at NBC Sports Chicago is one of my favorite things about that place. Yesterday, I went and walked around and I saw the podcast studio. I have a picture of it, as a matter of fact. As a matter of fact, it's the thumbnail for this particular episode. This podcast studio that Tony helped build. And to go from the guy who was the intern at the Score to him being someone who's doing great things on social media. And I can't say the next thing that Tony's going to do because it hasn't been announced yet, but it was all leading to this point. And he and I had the conversation like years ago that this was the next thing for him. And I'm glad that I'm really happy that he listened when I basically kicked him out and he understood why I was so adamant about him leaving. It wasn't because I didn't want Tony as my producer anymore. I love Tony. Tony is basically my son. So it was because I knew that there was only so far he was going to be able to go. And once he got over to NBC Sports Chicago and people could see the talent, you know, it was just a matter of time. And now we're here. And when Tony feels comfortable letting everyone know what his next gig is, I'll let you know. But I know what it is, and I think that it's incredibly well-deserved. So that makes me really proud, being able to work with Kenneth Davis from the D and Davis show. And D used to be one of my old interns. Davis feels like he's part of the family too, because they used to come and do stuff over at the Score. The incredible writers that we had there, whether it was JJ or Alex Shapiro, who is funny as hell, or my guy Josh Schrock, man, that dude is a real dude. Like, he does his job. He's great at it. He knows ball, and he's a lot of fun. And when they added him to the team, I was like, man, this dude is legit. And he reminds me in a lot of ways of his approach, not him, his approach to the job reminds me of mine. And so we get along really well. And I think that it's come off that way. A little bit more navel gazing, and then I'll get to the big picture stuff.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. One of the cool things about working at NBC Sports Chicago is the crossover stuff. Being there and doing the football show meant that I was often there when baseball was doing its thing, while basketball was doing its thing, while hockey was doing its thing. So after Jay left the Score, I got the chance to work with him again at NBC Sports Chicago. That's pretty great. As a matter of fact, if you're watching on YouTube, there's that picture right there. Me and Jay on football night in Chicago. I got to work with Ozzie Guillen, Scott Podsednik. Got to go to a party with Scott Podsednik, which was great. Over at Slavko's house, as a matter of fact. I got to work with Stacy and Will and talk basketball with them and their producers. Naomi, who's the boss of that show. I call her the final boss. And Kevin Bulldog Anderson, who I think is one of the most brilliant people in our industry. And that crossover part was great because it fed some creativity. You know, being able to talk White Sox with Chuck just because, or asking Pat Boyle if Connor Bedard is as good as I think he is. Watching him and all the analysts that have worked there too. It is a really wonderful place, man. I'm very sad to see it go. I feel like I've built really good relationships there. And I know that most of them will continue, you know. Even the people working, folks that are never there, and the folks that work the trucks on Bulls games and basketball games and White Sox games, like being able to connect with those folks and have them respect what I do because I respect what they do is a big deal. So I'll miss it. Like I really will. I don't know what I'm going to do TV-wise in the interim. I think probably what happens is I take a little break. I take a break over the, at least for the next month or so. There have been people who have inquired, but I don't know if I'm ready to just like, I'll just jump into being on TV just for being on TV's sake. Like it's not, I'm not driven by that. Like the next thing that I do on television, I mean, I have some kind of rules on what it is that I want to do next. And some people have been like, oh, okay, yeah, we can build something inside of that thing that you want to do. And some people be like, well, you should still come over here and try this thing. So I'm weighing some options, but I don't imagine that I'll be on TV anytime in the next, I don't know, 60 days. Except for maybe like, maybe Fox 32 is like, hey, do you want to come be on the Sunday night show? Sure, I can do that. Or Sports Sunday, Layla will be like, hey, why don't you come on and talk about the Bears? Cool, I can do that too. But as far as a steady, like you can catch me every week doing blah, 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 I don't see that being something that's in the near future. But who knows? So what does this mean for you? Now that I'm done navel gazing, what does this mean for you? Well, what it means is that you're going to have some choices on where to get some of your coverage from. And I mean, I'm a consumer right now too, just like you. So I've got some choices as well. I think that without the football after show, there's going to be a hell of a vacuum. And I know that most people in their minds will look at it and say, oh, well, that new sports network is starting up, right? The Chicago Sports Network, CSN. Yes, it's starting up. And most people think, well, the people at NBC will just go over there. Not necessarily. The folks that have worked at NBC Sports Chicago for a long time, they have agreements. They have severance packages. And if you were them, if you didn't have to work and you were still getting paid out, let's say it's for 26 weeks. If you had a chance to take a 6-month break, would you take it? Because I know I would. I would take that. It's not as easy as just move everything over to the new place. There are also people who already work over at Stadium that are going to find themselves with opportunities to work for the new network. So as a viewer, there's a couple of choices that you can have. Marquee does Bears stuff, but they run into some problems with Cubs stuff for the first month, which is not a big deal. That's what, three games in that first month? Three Sundays? Obviously, the show on Fox after the games is the official home of the Bears. So you've got that as an option. The CHGO guys are really good. You've got that as an option as well. I do think, and I've had some discussions with people in the business about this, the new network is not going to be on the air until October 1st. They just aren't. And their focus, and this is a really important part for those of you who are Bears fans to understand, their focus has to be, contractually, has to be making sure that Bulls and Blackhawks broadcasts get on the air. Okay? That is job number one. That is the most important thing. Now, I think that a lot of folks over there thought that NBC would extend for 6 months, and then the most important thing would be White Sox baseball. You're only dealing with one team instead of dealing with two. But that wasn't the case. NBC is kind of jumping out of the business when it comes to regional sports networks or RSNs. And because of that, they say, hey, you know what? We're good over here. You guys can pick up the ball and run with it. So now the new network has got to figure out how to do all of this. They've got to hire people. As I said, there are some folks that they probably want to hire that are like, yeah, but why would I do that when I can take a break and try to process all of this? It's a big shock, like, to a lot of people there. Like, people knew that the end was coming, but they didn't think it would come so abruptly. A lot of people thought it was going to be April that this would be the case. So you've got people weighing options, and it's not as simple as, I'm just going to move over here. Am I going to move over here and take a demotion, for example? Or am I going to maybe see if I can go work at the Big Ten Network, which is based in Chicago? For a lot of those people, that's a viable option. So it's for you, I think that these are going to be really confusing times. I had someone say to me this morning, one of our security guys, he said, hey, man, I saw you on TV last night. And I was like, yeah, it's going to be a while till you see me again. And he didn't know. And there are a lot of people that have either pushed it to the back of their mind, or maybe they're not paying as much attention because the White Sox are not good. But yeah, September 30th, NBC Sports Chicago will cease to exist. It won't be there. There'll be a blank screen, an empty channel, an empty vessel. That's it. Now, the hope is that, and I know a lot of the people who are doing stuff over at CSN, and I'm confident that they will get a representative product on the air for your Bulls and Blackhawks games. I don't even know if they can spend any time focusing on something else. I don't know if they can say, well, let's build out a Bears show while we're at it. I think there's going to be a couple of properties that move over there. I think you more than likely will see Stadium and their show, The Rally. Some of their programming will find its way. And if you're watching on YouTube, that's this picture over here, me on The Rally. There are some super talented people at Stadium. Brooke Fletcher, I'm telling you right now, Brooke Fletcher is a star. A star. Joshua Perry, star. If you've been like, hey, I really like that guy when you have him on the score. Uh-huh. So do I. Because I think that guy's a star. That's easy. Those two know how to do a show. And they'll make it easy. That's easy, like, programming before you get into pregame of Bulls or Blackhawks. They could put on at 5 o'clock. But no one's put me in charge. So I'm just giving an opinion. No one's put me in charge of anything. But if I were in charge, Brooke Fletcher and Joshua Perry would be staples on the new network. And that's if there is no more stadium, which I have some real questions about. But they're gonna have to experiment and build out some stuff, and it's going to take a while. So it might be a little clunky. So give them some grace. Marquee does their post-game shows. Fox does its post-game shows. I really like what Channel 9 does with GN Sports Night. And it kind of looks like, it looks like Channel 9 is starting to get itself back into the live sports game. Like, the CW is carrying ACC football, and they've got LIV Golf. I think that they've realized, like, as a channel and as a network, how important live sports is. So you could see that. You could see another, like, the show that Cap used to do. You could see another one of those shows, like, pop up. I'm thinking even on, like, the news stations. Layla, I think, is going to have some cool stuff on Sports Sunday. And I don't want to give away too much because some of it is inside and I can't give it away. But I will tell you that after the Sunday night football games are over, you know that Layla's got you covered. Right? So we'll see how all of this goes, but prepare yourself. The other part, I want to get clearance before I go into a deep dive on this, and maybe I'll get one of the particulars on House of L to talk about this at some point. What I have heard about the new network, I am encouraged. Now, I don't know if this is going to get implemented, but from what I heard, there it will be viewer friendly, meaning your access to it. So I am super hopeful that I talked with someone who would know. I had a long conversation with this person and asked a ton of questions about it. And what I walked away with was I'm more excited now for the viewer than I was 2 months ago. Because what they're trying to do over there is damn near impossible. Luckily, the DNC is over and the United Center can get back up and running. I was over at White Sox a couple weeks ago. I saw some of the build out that they're doing for their studios there. I think that that place might be a place that they use even outside of Sox season, because why wouldn't you? It's a working studio. And, like, let's say that you have a night where the Blackhawks and the Bulls are both playing. You can send your Bulls crew to the South Side and have them put a set together and no one would even know. But the fact that they've set room aside to me, I think it's significant, and I think that it's good. You know that you've got the lines there. You know that you can get a broadcast on the air from there. So I'm more encouraged than I was before that this can get done. But that doesn't take away the hurt of watching your career end. But I was filled with a lot of joy walking out of NBC Sports Chicago on Monday, And I feel like that's a lot of growth for me. You know, it was, I guess I've been thinking about it for a really long time. So I was prepared for it. And what was really cool is that there was White Sox pregame live with Ozzy. So I didn't have a chance to like sit in the emotion. I needed to get off the set so that they could do their show. And that gave me a chance to like pack up my stuff and give everyone hugs that I hadn't given hugs to and get out the door. Another thing real quick, I didn't make mention of this, but another thing that was cool about working for NBC Sports Chicago is that I got to reunite and work with one of my favorite partners ever, and that's Laura Britt. Laura Britt and I worked together over at Stadium. Me, her, Michael Kim, Tyler Foljam, who you're watching on ESPN now, do an incredible job doing sports betting stuff. Ahead of the game on that. Shout out to him and Dave Ross. They were way ahead of the game on that. Laura Britt works for NBC Bay Area. They're up and running. They're still doing their thing. We basically had the same job. I was doing it here. She was doing it there. And occasionally we got a chance to connect. And that was great too, because she's like one of my favorite people. She's an incredible journalist. And I'm glad that she got to do the Olympics, because I think she's a star too. And whether she wants to do sports or she wants to host the third hour of the Today Show, there's really nothing that Laura Britt can't do. So that was another like plus of being inside the NBC Sports family, is that I got to continue to work with someone who I trust and respect in Laura Britt. But I really appreciate you. I appreciate how much people loved specifically the football after show. Because I think that when it's all said and done, like that's what I'll be connected with. And I appreciate you for loving that show and learning from that show and learning from those guys. And really, really, really working hard with those guys to produce a fun and educational product that you seem to take to heart, and you made appointment viewing. And I know I feel comfortable speaking for those guys that they appreciated too, that everyone after the game was like, hey, what do those guys think about this? And as someone who spent time as a reporter on Doug and OB's post-game show, that's the closest thing that I can think to it. When the game was over, people would turn their radios on to hear what Doug and OB had to say about the game. And that's how I felt about what we did. What did Olin think about the game? What did Alex think about the game? What did Lance think about how the defense played? What did Matt think about how the offense played? What did Coach Wanstead think about how this game went? He's another dude. I'm going to get off here in a minute, but let me just say this about Dave Wanstead. I didn't get a chance to cover Dave Wanstead as a reporter. He was already moved on by the time that I started reporting. I don't know if I have worked with an analyst that I was able to connect with on a football level more than him. And it's the teacher in him. And I guess it's like the teacher in me too. Like, I appreciate his willingness to teach. We used to do the Dave Wanstead shows on Mondays, which was like so fun. And he would draw stuff out for me. He'd basically take a piece of paper and explain to me why plays didn't work, whether we're talking offense, defense, or special teams. Then he would put me in a stance and explain it. if that's, you know, what it took to learn. Some people are visual learners. Some people are kinesthetic learners. Some people are auditory learners. And he would go through it and he's like, this is the way the block should have gone. This is the way the tackle should have gone. And that stuff is invaluable. I also really like him. And when there was a lot of strife and maybe some stuff that even Dave didn't understand going on in 2020, he reached out to me just to make sure I was okay. I don't even know what Dave's politics are. All I know is that he knew that I was probably upset. And he reached out to me to make sure I was okay. I'll never forget that as long as I live. Y'all can't say bad stuff about Dave Wannstedt to me. I will fight you. Like, for real, for real. Same thing with my man Cap. Cap didn't know what was really going on. He wanted perspective, though. And he reached out to me. And those are the types of bonds and relationships that were formed there. And it was a great place. I'm very proud to have worked there. And I'm glad that you watched. And when there's an update on where I can be seen outside of this, I'll let you know. And know that there are conversations that are being had. But I'm at a point now with my career where I needed to be a really good fit for me to want to leave my house. It's got to be a good fit. Thank you. I appreciate you sticking around. I know this episode is way longer than I expected it to be. But I thank you for your support, especially those of you who are now subscribers to the YouTube page. Thanks for the love. Thanks for the support. Thanks to everyone who worked at NBC Sports Chicago. My guy, Mike, if I forgot anyone. Oh, you know what? Shout out to the security guards there, too. They always kept it a buck and kept us safe. But thanks again. And thanks for listening or watching this episode. It means a lot to me that you would even care about that. So I will talk to you next time.
Peace.